Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well today. Happy Easter. Here we are again. This is the fourth Sunday that we've been separated from one another because of this national crisis. And I know we keep getting conflicting messages from all sides. People are asking, will this be over soon? Is it going to last like this for another month? What will life be like after this is over? Will the grocery shelves ever be fully stocked again? I honestly don't know. But what I do know is this world is not my home, and I'm just passing through. I have faith in God. My hope is in God. And I can have confidence that God is going to take care of me because I know He loves me. This morning, God is love. This will be the final lesson in our God Is series. I hope everyone has heard them. You can still tune in on the church website and listen to any of these messages. You can also tune in to Facebook if you have that and see video on the last, on the two previous to this one, and a couple of Wednesday night messages. But we just welcome everyone. I hope that you are listening and doing well. I hope that you're fine and happy and safe. This morning, I want to share with you four wonderful truths about God's love. Our text is 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love came from God. You just heard verses 7 and 8. You see, God is love. He is love epitomized. Our Heavenly Father created all things in the physical world. The laws of nature. I'm talking about physics, science, chemistry, and so forth. God created all living things, all of which are governed by the laws of nature, which means that there will be birth, there will be growth, there will be decay, and ultimately there will be death. But my friends, God did not create love. For God is love. Love originates with God. Therefore, love is as eternal as God Himself. Now, man has created a number of amazing things in this modern world. The internet, laser surgery, cell phones, and donuts. But man did not create love. Man learned about love when he learned about God. Children are done a great disservice today if their parents fail to show them that God is the source of love. Love becomes cheap and manipulative when man puts his stamp on it. When a man tries to define it by his own standards. For instance, a young couple falls in love. Then that same young couple might fall out of love. The problem is man's idea of love is weak and fickle and temporary. But pure love is from God. This selfless, giving care for the one loved is the highest quality of God. And man is never more like God than when he loves with the love of God. Remember that this love transcends feelings. Feelings come and go, but love lasts forever. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Now this next text in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48, might seem out of place here when we're talking about the love of God, but it very much applies. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Now, it doesn't say why. The text doesn't say why. I said why. But he goes on to explain that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Then Jesus explains, excuse me, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. This is the difference between God's love and man's love. God is not partial. He shows no partiality toward people. Those that are faithful to him, those that are unfaithful to him, he still loves all men. He goes on to say, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Loving our enemies is all about how you treat them. It's not about how you feel about them. Again, remember, feelings come and go. But the love of God is not about feelings. It's all about how you treat them. And when we love, it makes us like God. Now, remember, we're told to love our enemies. Why? Watch this, Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, whose enemies? God's enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is such an important truth. We have to understand it. God loved us even when we were his enemies. A.W. Tozer wrote, it is a strange and beautiful eccentricity. Think of eccentric. It is a strange and beautiful It is a strange and beautiful eccentricity of the free God that he has allowed his heart to be emotionally identified with men. Self-sufficient as he is, he wants our love and will not be satisfied till he gets it. Free as he is, he has let his heart be bound to us forever. God's love is active, drawing us to himself. His love is personal. He doesn't love humanity in some vague sense. He loves humans. He loves you and me. And his love for us knows no beginning and no end. Are we worthy of such love? Of course not. But there it is anyway. Love came from God because God is love. Our first point then, love came from God. Second, love caused God to give. Look again at 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only Son, only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. God showed his love by sending his Son that we might live through him. In this, verse 10, is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When God created man, he gave man a moral law. When God created man, he gave man an immortal soul, and he gave man a spiritual law. In the garden, God said, do not eat, but man ate. God said, do not murder, but man murdered. God said, worship me in this way, but man worshiped God in his own way. Man succeeded in separating himself from the holy, righteous, and just God. And because of his disobedience, man was lost, condemned, doomed to face the wrath of God. But God did something about that. In John 3, verse 16, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God chose to give man a choice and a chance. God offers salvation to all those who will believe in and own his Son. To the Pharisees, Jesus said in John 8, 24, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We have a choice. God gave it to us. You can choose to let Jesus pay for your sins, or you can pay for them yourself. And if you pay for your sins yourself, there is no sacrifice for sin. You give up your own life for eternity. God didn't just give us a choice. God also gave us a chance to be saved. John the Baptizer said in John 3, verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." God loves us. Love came from God. Love caused God to give. Love brings life. That's number three. Again, with verses 9 and 10 of 1 John 4, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Love brings life. "In this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We talked about this last week, the payment for our sins. The propitiation is that payment that satisfies the demand of justice. The penalty for sin must be paid. Propitiation is the payment for sin. And God sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. God gave. I want you to think about this. When we talk about love bringing life, there's four points I want to make about that. God gave. Jesus told Nicodemus about this great love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 3, 16 and 17. That the world, mankind, might have eternal life. God gave to bring life. Not only did God give, God turned away. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, God made him to become sin. He did this for us. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." It happened when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matthew 27 and verse 46. Love brings life, and it brings life because God gave. And then God gave his Son, and then God turned away. He turned away from his Son. Jesus knew why he turned away. This is so sad. What it cost Jesus, what it cost the Father to save man, to give man a chance. Heaven had to give up the best it had to offer. And so God turned away, and Jesus died and was buried, and the stone was rolled. But then, number three, God raised up Jesus. God gave Jesus. God turned away from Jesus. Then God raised up Jesus, just as he promised. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. Now, while Jesus is laying in the grave, the Jewish leaders were worried that the disciples might come and steal the body of Jesus, claiming that he was risen. So they came to Pilate and asked him to please secure the tomb. But Pilate told these worried Jews, "You have a guard. Go make it as sure as you can." And you know they did. They sealed and guarded the tomb. But that sealed and guarded tomb could not hold our Lord. Early Sunday morning, there was a great earthquake. And an angel of the Lord came and rolled back the stone. The guards were like dead men for fear. And the women that came to anoint the body of Jesus heard the angel say, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Matthew 28, verses 5 through 7. Because of the resurrection, we need not fear whatever may happen to us in this life. God raised up Jesus. God gave Jesus. God turned his back on Jesus. God raised up Jesus. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, God will raise us up on the last day. In John chapter 6, verse 40, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The reason we can have hope of our resurrection is because we believe in Jesus. We have obeyed his gospel call. And according to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so God has raised us from spiritual death to walk in newness of life. Love brings life. Because God gave his Son. God turned his back on his Son. God raised up his Son. And God has raised us up as his children. Brethren, love came from God, for God is love. And love caused God to give his concern for lost man. And love brings life where there was spiritual death. And finally this morning, love causes love. Look at verse 11 of 1 John 4. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God loves. Jesus loves, and God's people love. The most basic requirement God has for his people is that they love one another. It's the measure by which we will be judged as faithful or unfaithful. We began this lesson with the words from John, "He who does not love does not know God." So we love the brethren like God loves us, and we selflessly seek the best for the ones we love. Do we always receive love when we love? I'm afraid it's not from man we won't. And still we love because God first loved us. And we rely upon God's love to see us through all the disappointments and the struggles and the fears of this life. With all this scary talk on the news, with all this isolation and uncertainty, anxiety and fear, take comfort today in this promise from God. There will be storms. Yes, storms today, storms tonight. I hope everyone stays safe. But we have a promise from God that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. A promise that Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Promises that God will not allow us to be tempted with more than we're able to bear. Promise that God will make all things work together for our good. And then one more promise. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The simple answer is nothing. God is love. You can take that to the bank. You can rely on that to help you get to heaven. God loves you. We love you. But God loves you more. I hope you have a great day. God bless you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day, for every blessing you've given. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless each person that is hearing this lesson, that you'll meet their needs, whatever they may be. Comfort our hearts. Give us peace. Help us to know that you're with us through these uncertain times. And we pray that we'll have faith in you, courage and trust in you, that we will love you and that we will love those around us, loving our enemies, loving our brethren, and that in love, love will motivate us to reach out, to make the phone calls and write the notes and to reach out to others in this time of isolation and loneliness. We ask you, Father, to bless each one, forgive us of our sins, and finally in heaven save us. Your will be done, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, everyone.